Welcome to the OU's new series on the Masechtas Ketanos, the so-called minor tractates. My name is Jack Abramowitz, and together we will be studying these classic but little-learned works. They can typically be found in a set of shas at the end of Seder Nezikin. Basically, they are teachings that were contemporary with the Mishnah, but were not included in the final edit of that work. We're going to begin with Masechtas Sofrim, which deals with the halachas of writing a Sefer Torah. And let's jump right into it. Halacha Aleph says, "Ein kosvin svarim lo aoros behem latmea v'lo aoros chaya tmea." We may not write holy scrolls on the skins of non-kosher beasts or domesticated animals. "V'lo nisparin begidan," and these scrolls may not be sewn using the sinews of these animals. "V'lo nichrochin b'sa'aran," and they may not be tied with the hair of these animals. "V'halacha l'Moshe miSinai," and Moshe received a law at Sinai that tells us, "Shekosvin a'oros behema tahora v'a'oros chaya tahora," that a Torah scroll and other similar things are to be written on parchment made from the skins of kosher animals, either domesticated or wild. "V'tofran begidan," and these scrolls are to be sewn using the sinews of these animals. "V'korachan b'sa'aran," and they are to be tied using the hair of these animals. "Halacha l'Moshe miSinai," shemasargalin bekana. It's also a halacha l'Moshe miSinai that these parchments must be ruled with a reed. "V'kosvan b'dio," and they are to be written with ink al ha'or, on parchment. "Shu samach lo min ha'mikra," and there's a support for this from the Bible, in the book of Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah. It says, "V'ani kosev al ha'sefer b'dio." He says, "I wrote in the book with ink." Halacha Beis. "Shal echad ez Rebbe Yehoshua ha'garsi." So a certain person asked a question of Rebbe Yehoshua ha'garsi. So what was the question? "Mipnei ma kosvin al-oros nevelos v'trefos." Why are we allowed to write a Sefer Torah on a skin from nevelos and trefos, which are animals that were mortally wounded or died on their own? So they were not ritually slaughtered. So they can't be eaten, but we can write a Sefer Torah on them. "Amar lo," so Rabbi Yeshua answered him, "emsho lecha mashal." I'll give you a story to demonstrate the point. "Lemaha davar dome," what's this like? "Lebeiz b'nei adam sh'nischayvu hariga l'malchus." Let's say there are two individuals, both of whom were worthy of the death penalty from the government. "Echad hargu melech," one was killed personally by the king. "V'echad hargu aspaklator," and the other was killed by the executioner, as is normally the case. "Eze mehen chashuv," which is the more prestigious prisoner? "Ze shehargu melech," obviously the one who was killed by the king was a more significant personage. "Amar lo," so the person who asked the question responded, "Im kein yehe mutar ba'achila." If an animal that dies on its own is more important because it was selected by God rather than by man, then we should be allowed to eat them. "Amar lo," so Rabbi Yeshua answered him, "Hari hu omer," the Torah tells us, "lo se achel kol nevela," you're not allowed to eat any animal that just dies or is mortally wounded. "Hakasuv asra va'ani ma'aselecha," so if the Torah tells us it's not permitted, what do you want me to do about it? Mikan, we can derive from this halacha, "Shekosvin al-oros nevela ve'al-oros trefa ve'ein choshishin shema oros levuvin hein." We're allowed to write on the skins of nevelos and trefas, and we don't have to worry that these skins are levuvin. So in order to find out what levuvin is, let us take a look in the Nachas Yaakov. And he writes, "Ve'ein choshishin," etc., oros levuvin. We now have to be concerned that these might be levuvin. "Meforsh b'maseches avodah zarah, perek ein ma'amidin, eze or lavuv." So it tells us in the Gemara in Tractate Avodah Zarah what an Or Lavuv is. "Kol shekarua neged halev v'kadur kamin aruba v'hayu osin kain l'shem avodas kochavim." So this was a skin that was ripped near the heart. I guess it would remove the heart, and this was done for an idolatrous purpose. "V'hatam de lo chashinan l'oros lavuvin nira li mishum dahavim miyuta neged sha'arei habehemos." And he figures that the reason that we don't have to be concerned that these skins might be levuvin is because it's a fairly uncommon practice. So given the vast majority of skins that are not levuvin, we don't have to worry that maybe some of them are. Back into the chapter above. We are now to Halacha Gimel. Lotlin oros mikol makom l'svarim l'tfilin u'mezuzos. We can get skins for writing Torahs and tefillin and mezuzahs any place. Vein choshishin shema oros levuvin hein. And we don't have to worry that they are levuvin, as we just discussed. Halacha Gimel. Kosvin al haklaf b'mokom basar, b'il hagvil b'mokom se'ar. So on a cloth, on a parchment, we write on the side where the flesh was, and on gvil, we write on the side where the hair was. So now what's gvil? Back in the Nachlas Yaakov. Mahu klaf and mahu gvil. What's klaf and what's gvil? Mavur b'tosefta b'maseches Shabbos daf ayin tes. So the Tosefta on Shabbos tells us what this is. U'b'harush b'halachas katanos, and the Rush also tells us. Kol ha'or kishehi shlema nikres gvil. So when a skin is complete, that's called gvil. U'kishechalukim ha'or l'shnayim Hatzad hachitzon nikra klaf, b'kosvin alav b'makom basar. So when the skin is divided into two parts, the outer part is called klaf, parchment, and there we write on the side where the flesh was. B'hatzad hapnimi nikra duchsustus, b'alze kosvin b'makom sa'ar, d'hainu b'makom hanidbak. So on the other piece, the interior piece, that's called duchsustus, and there you have to write on the side of the hair, and it's where the two parts of the skin were joined together. Ulochein al hagvil kishehi shlema kosvin b'makom sa'ar. So this is why when it's unseparated, when these two pieces are still a whole skin, you have to write on the hair side. Back inside. So klaf you have to write on the meat side, and gvil you have to write on the hair side. Ve'en urashoy lishnos, and you're not allowed to change it up. Halacha l'Moshe miSinai, Moshe received the halacha at Sinai, she'im shina b'zeh u'b'zeh ein karen bo. If you do it the wrong way, if you write on the wrong side, you're not allowed to use the Torah. Halacha hey, ein kosvin lo al diftera v'lo al gabe ner machuk. You're not allowed to write a sefer Torah on diftera, which is a kind of processed leather-like parchment, and you're not allowed to write it on erased paper. Lo b'shachur v'lo b'shichur v'lo b'komos, you're not allowed to write in these different colorings. You can't use kohl, you can't use shoe polish, you can't use tree sap or gum. V'lo b'kankantom, and you're not allowed to use vitriol, which is metallic. V'lo b'metiria, which Rashi tells us is rainwater. V'einos n'kankantom b'dio, and you can't put vitriol, which is that metallic substance, into the ink. Halacha vav. Ein kosvin lo ivris. You can't write a Sefer Torah in ivris. Can't write a Sefer Torah in Hebrew. What does that mean? It means using the ancient Hebrew script, which we no longer use. We use a different Hebrew script called Ksav Ashuris, typically translated as a Syrian script. So that's what we have to use for Sefer Torah, not the ancient Hebrew script. Velo Aramis, velo Midis, velo Yavanis. And you can't write a Sefer Torah in Aramaic or in Median or in Greek. Can't write it in a foreign language. Kasav b'chol loshon b'chol kisvam v'lo yikrabo ad shetehe ksuva ashuris. You could write it in any language, any script, but you can't use it for a Sefer Torah unless it's written in the Assyrian Hebrew script. Halacha Zayin. Ma'isa behezikanim shekasu latamei hamelech es hatora yavanis. There was an incident where five elders wrote the Torah in Greek for Ptolemy. I imagine they were coerced to do so. And that day, the repercussions were as bad for Israel as the day that the golden calf was made. Because the Torah was not able to be translated sufficiently. There's going to be limitations in translation. There's going to be words that just don't translate well, an idiom and expressions, and is always going to be lacking from the original. So to translate the Torah into Greek for Ptolemy was going to create a shortcoming in understanding of the Torah. The story of Ptolemy continues in Halacha Ches. Shuv Maisa B'Ptolemy HaMelech. Another incident regarding Ptolemy. Shekanas Ayin Bezikanim. He gathered 72 elders. Behoshivam b'shivim ushnayim batim, and he locked them in 72 different rooms. V'lo galo lahem alma kansam, and he didn't tell them why he had gathered them. Nichnas l'kol echad ve'echad mehem, and he went into each one individually, and amar lahem, and he told them, kasuli toras Moshe rabchem, and he said to them, write me the Torah that was given to you by your teacher Moses. Nasan hamakum eitza b'lev kol echad ve'echad, v'askima datan l'das achas, and God gave them good insight so that they all wrote the same result. V'kasulo Torah b'fnei atzma, so they wrote a singular Sefer Torah, which we call the Septuagint because it was written by 70 different people. V'yud gimel davar shinubo, and they made 13 edits. V'eluhain, and now we're going to have a list of them. Elohim bara bereshis, instead of saying bereshis bara Elohim, which could be mistranslated, God forbid, as something called bereshis created God, it flips it around and says God created in the beginning. V'yomer Elohim ese adam betzelem ubdemus, God said, I will make man in image and form, instead of saying, let us make man, so people should not think, you know, erroneously, God forbid, that there's more than one deity. V'yakal b'shishi v'yishbos b'shvi, it says that God finished on the sixth day and rested on the seventh day, because if it said that he finished on the seventh day, people might mistakenly think that he worked on Shabbos, kaviyochol. Zachar unakeva bara'u, it says he created him male and female, because the Torah goes on to explain how Chava was taken from Adam, so we don't want the earlier text to suggest that they were created individually, because that would seemingly contradict what comes later. Hava erda be'evlosham, I will go down, and confuse their language. And again, not in the plural, but in the singular, to avoid any misunderstanding. V'tishak b'kroveha lemor, that Sarah laughed among her relatives, saying. So Sarah laughed when she heard that she was going to have a baby, and Avraham laughed when he heard she was going to have a baby. But only Sarah is yelled at by God because of it. And the reason is because she laughed derisively, whereas Avraham laughed joyfully. But because on the surface it looks the same, it added the word that she laughed among her relatives. So now it looks like, she laughed publicly, so people can understand why she was yelled at and not Avraham. Kiba apam hargu shor, ubritsonam akru avus, that in their anger they killed an ox and they dug up its stall. So this is when Yaakov is yelling at his sons for the incident in Shechem. It changes the language to make them not look like murderers, which the language that Yaakov used was very harsh. Now you'll notice that in the text it says ish, it doesn't say shor, and that's a mistake because ish is what it actually says in the Torah, and the Gra in his notes indicates that this should say shor, so he fixes it up for us. Vayikach Moshe es ishto v'es banav v'yarkivam al nosei adam, says that Moshe took his wife and his sons and he caused them to ride on a carrier of people. So it's some undefined form of transportation. And the reason for this is because he put them on a donkey isn't very prestigious for Moshe, who's the, you know, effectively the king. He's the leader of the entire people, and it would be a reason to make fun of him in the eyes of other nations. So for Moshe's honor, that was changed. Umoshav b'nei Yisrael, asher yeshvu b'eretz Mitzrayim u'b'eretz Kanan, shloshim shana v'arba me'oshana. It says that the Jews lived in Egypt and Canaan before that for 430 years. And because the reason for that is, if it just said Egypt, you can do the math, you can see they weren't in Egypt for more than 400 years. So it's confusing, because the prophecy that God gave Avraham, it looks like it wasn't fulfilled. So we know that the count started before they went to Egypt, but here it, again, fixes up the text so that others should not make mistakes in the meaning. V'elzatute b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado, to the important ones, to the esteemed ones of Israel, I didn't send forth hand. Instead of saying na'are, which is the youth, which is a subordinate term, here it chooses a more prestigious terminology to refer to people from Israel. Lo chemed echad mehem nasasi, I didn't take any desirable thing. Again, it says in the text that he didn't take a donkey, which is a small thing. And someone might say, well, of course he didn't take a donkey. He took gold and jewels, but a donkey he wouldn't take. So here it just changes it to, I didn't take anything anyone would want. Es tziras haragalim, instead of saying arneves, it calls a hare an animal with short legs. And this is because in translation, it would be similar to the name of Ptolemy's wife, and they didn't want to have him think that they were making fun and get in serious trouble, so they changed it to an animal with short legs. asher chalak Hashem Elokecha otam lahayir l'chol ha'amim tachas kol ha'shemayim. It inserts the words that the reason that God created the lights in the sky are to give light to the world, so that people shouldn't justify worshiping them. So it says God specifically made them for light. And following along with that, asher lo tzivisi la'avdam, I did not command that they be worshipped. So if the Torah just says, I did not command them, then people might misunderstand and think God didn't command them to be made, and some competing deity, God forbid, made them against God's will. So here it clarifies that God made them, but he did not want them to be worshipped. That is the end of Halacha Ches, the 13 changes that were made in the text of the Septuagint. And if you count them, you'll see there's more than 13, because some of them are part of a set. Some of them go together. Halacha Tes. Ein kosvin bezahav. You cannot write a Sefer Torah with gold. Ma'ase b'toraso shel Alexandrus, shehayu kol az karaseha ksubos bezahav. So Alexander had a Sefer Torah that the names of God were written in gold. Ubam ma'ase lifnei chachamim, and this came to the attention of the sages, v'amru tiganes, and they said this Sefer Torah has to be put into Seamus. It can't be used. Halacha Yud. Kol ha-Torah kulo ivrisi. The entire Torah is in the Hebrew language, elish yesh devarim targum. But there are some words that are in the Aramaic translation. Shal ivris al yichtov targum. Those Hebrew words may not be written in Aramaic. Udvarim shal targum al yahavcham. And those that are written in Aramaic cannot revert to Hebrew. You have to keep them in Aramaic. Kagon yardar sahadusa galed. For example, the case of Yagar Sahadusa and Galed. Both of them mean the mount of testimony, but Yagar Sahadusa is Aramaic and Galed is Hebrew. V'yesh Omrim, lo dibru ella al Yagar Sahadusa v'al Galed, shehen shtei lushonos shel ivris v'targum. Some say that this halacha refers specifically to the case of Yagar Sahadusa and Galed, which are two terms, one Aramaic and one Hebrew, for the same thing. It says that, you know, Lavan called this Yagar Sahadusa, and Yaakov called it Galed. So there, obviously, you can't be flipping them around. Ivris Shekasu Targum, V'Targum Shekasu Ivris. If you wrote Hebrew words in Aramaic or vice versa, Al Yikrabo, then the Torah may not be used. V'Ezahu Targum, and what's an example of Aramaic in the Torah? Kagon Yagar Sahadusa Galed V'Chaverav. Like Yagar Sahadusa is Galed and similar cases. Hazinu Hashemayim she'asa shira. If the text of the song of Hazinu is written like the text of the song at the sea is supposed to be written, shira she'asa Hazinu, or if the song of the sea is written in the form that Hazinu is supposed to be written, Ratzuv she'asa mesurag, or if a line that's supposed to be continuous is written in the choppy staccato fashion with breaks in between, mesurag she'asa ratzuv, or if a line that's supposed to have breaks in the middle of it is written complete, or if the breaks in a line that's supposed to have breaks are not done properly, then the Sefer Torah may not be used. So all of these special spacings and layouts have to be done properly, and if they're not, it invalidates the Torah for use. Halacha Yud Aleph. Gamar kol hadaf, b'shayir ba pachos mizargo, b'osa oso daf katan, b'fnei atzmo, b'eino nimna. If someone's writing a Sefer Torah and he comes to the end, and he has less than a column worth of text to go, he can start a new column, even though it will just be a partial column by the time he's finished. He doesn't have to worry about it. Keep going, that's A-OK. Halacha Yud Beis. Yiriya shel shisha chokim osa lishnayim. If a piece of parchment has enough space to write six columns of text, then it's okay to divide this parchment into two pieces. V'shel chamesha, but if it only has enough room to write five columns of text, then you cannot divide it into two. Shema yase echad shnayim be'echad shalosha. Because perhaps someone will write three columns of text on one half and two columns of text on the other. And a piece of parchment used in the Sefer Torah has to have three columns of text on it. Ve'eino rashai lichtov ela imkein yodea likros. And a person is not allowed to write a Sefer Torah if he doesn't know how to read. So he can be a talented artist, and he can copy it letter by letter, but if he can't read it, he's not allowed to write a Sefer Torah. Speaking of who's not allowed to write a Sefer Torah, this brings us into Halacha Yud Gimel. Sefer Torah Shekasu Tzeduki. If a Sefer Torah was written by a Sadducee, a type of heretical Jew, O Masur, or an informer, someone who would rat out his fellow Jews to the Roman authorities, O Ger, this is not a convert, this refers to a Ger Toshav, which is a non-Jew who keeps the seven Noahide laws, O Eved, or to a slave, O Shote, or a person who doesn't have all of his mental facilities, O Katan, or a minor, Al Yikrabo, if any of these people wrote a Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to read from it. Zahaklal, this is the general rule. Kol Hakosvo Motzias Harabim Yidei Chovasan. Anyone who writes a Sefer Torah has to be able to fulfill the public's obligation. So since these people cannot exempt everyone else of their obligation, then they can't write a Torah for them. Finally, Halacha Yudalid. Psucha Sha'asa Sesuma. If a place that's supposed to be written as an open section is written closed, Sesuma Sha'asa Psucha, or if the closed section is written open, Harize Yigones, then this Sefer Torah has to be put away, has to be put in Shemus, it can't be used. Ezehu Pesucha, what is an open section? Kol Shelo Hischil Barosh Hashita, anything that doesn't start at the beginning of a line. Ve'ezehi Sestuma, and what's a closed section? Kol Sheheniach Be'emtza Hashita, anything that has space left over in the middle of a line. Bekama yeniach berosh hashita, and how much has to be open at the beginning of a line? Utehei nikreis pesucha, in order to be called open? Kedei lichtov shem shel shlosh osios, it has to be enough room to write a name 3 letters long. Bekama yeniach beemsa hashita, vetehei nikreis sesuma, and how much has to be left in the middle of a line in order for it to be considered a closed section? Kedei lichtov shem shel shlosh osios, same thing, it has to be a space big enough to write a name 3 letters long. Gamar kol haparsha, if someone completed an entire section, besof hadaf, at the end of the page, yishayir shita achas lemala, then he has to leave a blank line at the top of the next page. V'yimshayir milamata kedei lichtov shem shel shlosh osios, but if there's enough space remaining at the end of the bottom line in order to write a name 3 letters long, maschil milamala, then he can just start at the beginning of the top of the next page as per usual. That is the end of Perek Aleph. Join us next week, and we will continue with Maseches Sofrim, Perek Beis.